a lot of people say, oh, I just want to sort of, they're kind of dabbling in the idea of improving themselves. And the real way to do it is you got to write down what the fuck you want and then go after it. If you decide, I'm going to get down to bang, I'm going to do this, I'm going to run a marathon in less than 5 hours, I'm going to, you know, whatever the fuck it is, you got to write that shit down and go for it.
Well, my workout, I schedule every Sunday. I schedule everything that I'm going to do during the week. I say, I have to do yoga 2 times this week. I have to lift weights 3 times this week. I have to run 2x this week. And however I fit that in, I fit that in. But I owe those things. And you don't need 2.5 hours. You can get a great workout in 40 minutes. And that's all you need for the whole day. 100%. Yes. You know, this idea of time, like how much time did you put in today? Like you could work out in a bullshit manner for 2 hours and not get nearly as much done as you can for a half hour hard just running. So I have to get those things in. The only exceptions are injuries and sickness. I do everything that I can to put my body and my brain in a good place so that I'm keeping my engine smooth. I'm changing my oil, I'm changing my spark plugs, I'm making sure that it's operating. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but I know that I've done my best to keep it working the best that it can. There's consequences that you pay to constantly seeking comfort and avoiding discomfort and avoiding hard work. And those consequences are you're never going to feel self-realized, you're never going to feel like you accomplished anything, you're never going to have this feeling of understanding that difficulty and struggle and the ability to push through that is a muscle, and you develop that muscle by doing it. And once you do, you develop a lot of self-satisfaction and you develop peace of mind, and you understand that you can overcome obstacles. If you don't have to overcome obstacles, you never know whether or not you can. Unless you are faced with actual adversity, you don't understand how you're going to feel and how you're going to react when you overcome that adversity. Fine. Things that are difficult, when you do these difficult things, you're stressing your mind, or I should say, not even stressing your mind, exercising your mind and exercising your body's ability to manage intense situations. It's hard. It's very difficult. It's very testing. And in doing so, you lessen the stress of regular life. The more stressful situations that I experience, the more I understand what they are and the more I can relax. But it's also like a matter of constantly being exposed to these stressful situations where there's not a long break in between doing stand-up or a long break in between martial arts training where to the point where anxiety can build up. And then once you get into it, it's almost an unusual situation instead of a usual one. What I tell people is the best advice that I've ever heard, the best advice I ever came up with, is that live your life like you're the hero in your movie. And right now is when the fucking movie starts and your life is a shitbag disaster. Pretend you are, right now, you're in the part of the movie that starts and it shows you as a fucking loser. And just decide not to be a loser anymore. Live your life like there's a documentary crew following you around and you are analyzing your own pain. Do what you would want to do so that your kids one day would look back at it and see that documentary and look on it with pride, like, wow, my dad was a bad motherfucker. He really did what he had to do. Wow, my mom really got her shit together. I love a success story, but even more than a success story, I like a dude who fucks his life up and then gets it back together again story. Those are my favorite stories. And the way to do that, you gotta write shit down. You gotta think that you are the hero in your own fucking movie, and then you gotta sit down and you gotta write shit down. Write down what you need to do. You have to be the hero of your own story, and you can do that. Ninety percent of it is just showing up. Get there and start working. Like, you're not going to feel perfect every day. It's got to be those days you push through, and they're probably going to be more numerous than the days you don't. And so the benefit of discipline in my eyes has always been that through discipline, I get things done. Write down everything you want to do. This is what I want you to do. write down what you would like to fix about your life. And then just, if you're 30 pounds overweight, you want to lose 30 pounds, do it the right way. Go start eating vegetables, monitor your calories, write down what you eat, exercise every day, force yourself to do it. The brain is the general, the troops are the body, and you get up and you do it, and then you get to write it down. Our bodies, for whatever reason, most people, their associations are to avoid anything that's uncomfortable. It's so illogical, because when you look at comfort and you look at success and progress and the feelings of accomplishment and of getting past certain hurdles and in terms of like how you feel about life, a lot of those are connected to discomfort. Like, discomfort is your friend. It really is. Like, discomfort and not being happy and content with certain situations in life or certain feelings in life. One of the big problems is sitting down and doing the work. And he labels it like an enemy. He calls it resistance, you know, and that you have to sit down, you have to overcome resistance, and that the pro goes to work. And it doesn't matter if you're sick, doesn't matter if you have kids, it doesn't matter what you're a pro and you go to work. And that just, it puts it in your head that this is what I do. You have pride in that. And then when you are in front of that keyboard and you look down the count, it says put 1,000 words in. You're doing the work. Yeah. And out of that work, gems blossom. And it's about resistance that people feel when you know you should write, or you know you should paint, or whatever, you should sculpt, whatever these things are that you pursue. And that there's this thing that comes up that tries to keep you from doing that. This resistance. You're not a hero in your own eyes. You're not someone who you respect. You know, you're doing what you got to do to get by, but ultimately, you're not respecting yourself. And I think we all have a certain amount of appreciation and respect for hero figures. You know, like, we all look at, like, the guy who never lies and always does the right thing and fucking helps everybody out. And that's the John Wayne character, you know, that's the, right. The ultimate hero. And he's like, this is a battle that you will fight for the rest of your life. But the key is to fight it, not to give in. Don't give in to that resistance. Just to fight that resistance. And in doing so, every day you do so, you have won the battle for that day. And you will continue to fight that battle.
And when you look at your own life and you don't stack up, you're a thief, you stole money from your wife's purse, and you know you don't want to smoke cigarettes but you fucking have to, you can't deal with the stress, you smoke, you devalue yourself. You slowly start devaluing yourself. When you look at yourself, you realize that if you were judging yourself, you would judge yourself unfavorably. So no matter who you can't pretend you're the hero of your story. You can be the hero of your own story that woke up today. You can be the hero of your own story that at 40 years of age stopped, got out of bed, and said, I'm not doing this anymore. Only by my instincts and only by my morals and my ideals and my mind, and I'm going to be dead honest with myself because I'm realizing this is not going to last forever. And I'm going to get myself in shape, and I'm going to eat healthy. And I'm going to do this because this is me now. I decide that this is me. And people have to realize that you are not your past. You are not all the times you fucked up. You're not all the times you were drunk. That's not you. What you are the person who's learned from a great deal of experience.
When you're alone with your thoughts, you get an idea of what your thoughts actually are. If you live your life just acting constantly on the momentum of other people's expectations, of you wanting to be liked by these other people, you can run into a trap and you set up a life that you didn't really want. Your life is certainly some sort of a journey. It's certainly some sort of a journey. You're trapped in this situation where you have a mortgage, you've got credit card bills, you've got student loans you have to pay, you have a bunch of shit going on that you have to continue to feed. And all that, and especially if you have a family and you have to feed them, oh my goodness. Then you're fully locked in. You can't take any chances whatsoever. And oftentimes people make the mistake of getting stuck. And it is just a tactical mistake, just like it would be a mistake if you got stuck on a video game. Just like it would be a mistake if you followed a map incorrectly and you got stuck in the woods. Your life is certainly some sort of a journey. It's certainly some sort of a journey. And we have to all be aware that when we're making journeys, we're not going to always make the right steps. And sometimes you have to back up and try again. And if you're in a position where you can't back up and try again, you've trapped yourself. Because people define themselves by the past. Instead of thinking about who they are now, instead of they still look back at a mistake they made and don't just get past that mistake, grow and learn, but dwell on it. Think it defines them. I mean, there's definitely pitfalls in life. You're going to run into them. We all are. No, you can learn and grow if you survive. Somewhere along the line, they didn't face enough of the adversity to realize that there's sometimes you just got to get up and get shit done. There's sometimes where you have to fucking pull yourself up and you have to push forward even if you want to stay in bed. Having that safety net has provided him with a way to stay in bed, kept him weak. Have an opportunity. Every time things go wrong, every time things feel terrible, you have an opportunity to learn from whatever makes you feel terrible and never allow it to happen again. Push forward. The system will set out honeypots for people to get trapped in. The system will set out the ideas of retirement, the ideas of the golden years, providing you benefits, providing you a healthy work environment. Why? Well, because they want people to work for them. They don't want people to realize their own dreams and escape. They want to set it up so that you stick around. Stick around in some sort of an unsatisfying world. It's up to you to see that video game problem, to see that issue as it comes up on the map. No, I think this is a right turn. To see all the problems that could potentially lay in front of you and calculate your future. And then also look around all the people that didn't do it and look at the misery that they're in and learn that you don't want to be like them. And most people get stuck in these patterns, or they define themselves as the person who doesn't follow through on their ideas, or a person who doesn't pursue their real interests and loves. You define yourself by that. Well, you know, I guess when I start things and I quit. No, you don't. No, you have started things and you quit. And it gives you a horrible sense of regret that's made you define yourself by that. You don't have to do that. If I look back on anything I've ever done, mistakes I've ever made, paths that I, you know, something that I put out that I didn't quite think, man, maybe I just waited 3 months before I released that, or maybe I should have, you know, re-edited that blog post a couple more times before I put it online, or things that I've done have driven me crazy, but yelling at someone I didn't have to yell at them for, or whatever. But the most important thing is always for all people to recognize that you're not who you were a year ago. You're not who you were 5 years ago. You're not who you were last week. So you got to regulate how much you dwell on regrets of the past. You really got to be careful. It's also directly proportionate to the amount of hardships that people face in life, their ability to face hardships. You know, and there's a lot of folks that live life on a cushy cloud of marshmallows and bullshit, and then one day something goes wrong. And then look at the people that have kind of taken chances and navigated their way. What did they do differently than you? What insight into their own mistakes are they willing to delve into that you're not, that you step back and you go, you know, I just don't want to look at myself that closely. But the person who's able to look at themselves the closest is going to get the more rational results. There's a great feeling in these overcoming these difficult things, because life is never this just constant state of I'm at a 9 all day, and when I'm with my wife, I hit 10. Yay! And I stay like that. That's not real. It all comes from life lessons, and the lessons are learned through struggle. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that think somehow or another you're going to get to some place where you're living in silk sheets and you're getting your toes done while someone's dropping grapes into your mouth. I don't want that. I've never wanted that. That guy's not going to be happy. We have been fed this line of horseshit that you're supposed to seek comfort. And I don't think you are. I think you're supposed to seek lessons, and you're supposed to seek difficult tasks and accomplishments, and through those things and through doing things that are hard to do. Because if I just think, well, tomorrow I'm just going to coast and eat Twinkies and watch TV. Oh, hello, sadness, my old friend. Hello, depression. And we can pretend that we're something other than what we really are. And we can pretend, nah, me, man, I'm just cool, just chilling, doing nothing. Little improvements, I think, are what life is all about. And I think also they're a tool to feed the mind. Because I really believe the mind needs these little lessons. The mind needs these little tasks. Stimulation and reward, lack of these peaks and valleys, and this, again, this bullshit idea that we're constantly fed that you should be comfortable. Those human reward systems are carved deeply into your DNA, and if you don't respect that, if you don't respect the mechanism of happiness and fulfillment and what you really need to do in order to feel satisfied in life, camaraderie, love, family, friendship, struggle, testing yourself, learning, all those things are imperative. They're all a giant part of being a person. Improvements over things. That's why doing difficult things is good. Your mind has to seek discomfort. It has to seek these difficult tasks. You have to enjoy it. And you have to figure out a way to make your mind enjoy those things. And some people it comes easy, and some people it doesn't. Some people it takes a long time. I always tell people the best thing you could ever do is force yourself to a schedule. Just write it down. Like today I have to do an hour on the treadmill. I have to do an hour, no matter what. Even if you're walking on it, you're doing an hour on a treadmill. The next time you're going to do it, just, okay, you did an hour and this is the amount of miles you got in. Next time you're going to, you know, add 3 miles. Put an extra 3 miles in that 1 hour. And just keep doing things like that. Write down, today I'm going to do 100 push-ups, and I'm going to do 100 sit-ups, and I'm going to do 100 chin-ups. That's today. And then force yourself. Force yourself to adhere to a schedule. Make a Monday, Wednesday, Friday workout schedule. Give yourself some time off, you know? Like, don't even crush yourself to the point where you can't do it. Make it so that you really appreciate those Tuesdays and Thursdays. But on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're going to f***ing get after it, and this is what you're going to do. Most people just try to go work out. And you're kind of aimless, and you show up, and like you pick up the jump rope, and you jump a little rope, maybe you hit the heavy bag a little bit, maybe you do some curls, but you don't really have an aim. That's why people like to hire trainers, because a trainer will tell you what to do. Well, you can tell yourself what to do. If you don't have money for a trainer, you don't even have to have equipment. You know, with bodyweight squats, sit-ups, chin-ups, push-ups, you could give yourself a brutal full body weight workout. And you can find these for free on YouTube. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of these body weight workouts you could do. Just force yourself. Write it down. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to do 100 push-ups. I'm going to do 100 chin-ups. I'm going to do 100 sit-ups. Even if it takes me all f***ing day. Even if I have to do 10 and 10 and 10 and keep going all day, just that's what you do. Do 10 push-ups. Take a break for 20 minutes. Do another 10. But get those 100 in.
I don't believe in half-assing things. This life is short, you know? If you get into something, get into it. And if you're not into it, don't be into it. And I think that insanity and greatness are next-door neighbors, and they borrow each other's sugar. That's what I've always said. There's something about mastery, like true mastery, that requires you to shut off massive areas of your life.
There's a lot of people that are scared of their ability to do something that's difficult. I don't know if I could force myself to be disciplined. I don't know if I could force myself to take that kind of action. Well, if you do force yourself to take that kind of action, you don't have that question anymore. That question, I don't know if I can do it. Well, you're doing it. So you obviously do it. Can you do it tomorrow? We did it today. Or can you do it tomorrow? Just do it. You get so much more benefit out of a struggle that you choose to embark in versus a struggle that life throws upon you. Get out there and go and do something. Just go. And then in the middle of doing it, it'll become easy. Even if it's not easy, even if it's hard, it's easier than not doing it and wishing that you had done it.
Oftentimes people confuse discipline with focus. And this is why that's important. There are things that some people can excel at because they're focused on them and because they're drawn to it and they have an incredible passion for it. Versus, like, you tell a guy, like, hey, you know, you're going to study to be an electrical engineer. And it's like, I don't want to be a fucking electrical engineer. Well, you got to have discipline. And so they don't have the drive and they don't get excited about it and they don't do. But if you tell that guy, whatever, you're going to be a golfer, and he loves golf and he's practicing every day and he becomes a professional golfer. You say, well, I thought that guy didn't have any discipline. Well, it's not that he didn't have any discipline. He's just not interested in that other thing. I was never a disciplined kid, but I would find things that I loved and I was obsessed, and I always felt embarrassed by it. Because people would say, oh, your son, like to my mom, your son is so disciplined. And she'd be like, my son's f***ing crazy. Like, he's not disciplined. And he finds these things and that's all he does all day long. Right. Like, it's not really discipline because he doesn't clean his room. Right. He's f***ing lazy. There's all sorts of shit he's supposed to do. I never did my homework. There's all the, but if I had a thing that I was into, I was obsessed.
You're crazy about it.
But it would bother me that I didn't really have discipline. Like, if I had jobs that I had to do, I didn't do a good job at them, like construction jobs that I had. But when it came to martial arts...
How did you find those things, though? How did you find those things? You stumbled upon
them? I just got lucky. Martial arts, I just got lucky. And it clicked with me, like, almost immediately. I became obsessed, you know, and I wanted to excel at it. And so I was just doing it all day long. And I think the more you choose to embark in these struggles, especially physical and mental struggles, because I consider both martial arts, yoga, and actually even trail running, I consider the mental struggles as much as physical struggles. Mm-hmm. Like, because I could stop anytime I want. I'm halfway up the hill, I can go, mm-hmm. fuck this. So I'm walking the rest of the way.
Yep.
Call my dog over, put him on the leash. I'm like, we're walking, buddy. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But, or you could say, no, this is what I'm doing today. I have a very clear plan in front of me. My plan is, we're doing 4 miles today. This is where we start. This is where we end. This is what we're doing. Sometimes when things are really hard to do, you think, oh my God, I got to stop doing this. But once you do it and you complete it, you have a satisfaction, this sense of satisfaction that you did something really difficult that is irreplaceable. And some kids never get that, and they just stay fat and stupid their whole life. Right. And some kids, they get these little lessons, and then they realize, like, you can push yourself and you can get somewhere. You know, some kids get real lucky and they get involved in sports or martial arts early. And one of the best benefits of sports is you realize that through hard work, you get improvement. Through improvement, you get success. Through success, you get that big dopamine rush. You get that good
confidence.
Feeling.
Right.
You get confidence.
Yeah.
You get this knowledge.
You get the girl.
Yeah, you get, sometimes, I didn't. But you get this knowledge that you can do something that's difficult and you can overcome, even though it feels like you can't. You're going to have days where you suck, mm-hmm. but those days are so motivational. I mean, that's the bright side of tragedy. So when you come through it, you really will have an appreciation for the moments without tragedy. You don't really feel it unless unless life burns you. You don't really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that I tell people all the time, because a lot of people have a hard time defining themselves. They define themselves by failure because they failed. But I'm like, you're not your failures. You're you. Okay, your life is a series of lessons you've learned. Now, if you just dwell on the failures, like, that's not healthy. It's not smart and it's not empowering. What you got to do is look at those failures and go, well, now you know what not to do. But you're not that. You're yep. you. You know, you could have done the stupidest shit ever, but it's not you. It's not you. You're a different thing. You're the being that's experiencing all these failures. And if you know that they're fuck ups, then you've learned, okay? If you repeat them over and over again,
well, then I can't talk to you. Yeah. You know, if you keep going back and doing the same stupid shit over and over again, well, you got a deeper issue. You know, I don't know what it is, but I don't have the time. Building up that ability to endure things, that's also a very important mechanism that you could apply to everyday life. Like that, the mechanism of understanding how to endure. Like Jocko Willink's perfect example. You know, he has that thing on his, if you go to his Instagram page, almost every other photo is a watch. Mm. And it's a watch that says 4:30 in the morning, because that's when he gets up and he works out and he earns the sunset. And he does that. He's so disciplined, and he's got this saying that's a great saying, discipline equals freedom. And it's true, because he's able to force himself to do that every single time. There's no excuses. There's no breaks. There's no days off. It doesn't happen. So because of that, you're not scared. You know that you can keep doing it. You know that you can continue to perform. There's a lot of people just running from discomfort. They're running from it. They're just avoiding it. So easy to. And like if you get distracted for a second, you're like, let me check my phone. Mm. You just start going through your phone and looking at bullshit. And you're just distracting yourself from the tiniest frustration of boredom. Just the little, we don't get bored anymore. Or if we get bored, we get bored for these tiny amounts of time, then you get distracted. So your distraction is eliminating your boredom. But the problem with that is like, there's certain thoughts that only come to you when you're thinking, when you don't have any input coming in. When we're constantly looking at our phones, the only input you're getting is input from other people. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes you get good stuff out of that. But it's like a diet of only fruit. Don't think that you're that person that made those mistakes. You're the person who's learned, you know? And to have that attitude is a really important thing. And to not say, why am I doing this now? I could have been doing this my whole life. Well, you weren't, so the fuck is that going to help?
Yeah.
You know, you got to not think like that. You just got to be happier doing it now. Well, I think the one thing that discipline definitely does help you with is it helps you get things done. And when you get things done, when you actually do things, you have more success. If you have more success, and sometimes a big part of success is just not being fucking lazy and just doing it.
Yeah.
That's like 90% of it is just showing up. Get there and start working. Like, you're not going to feel perfect every day. If I only worked out when I felt good, I'd be a fat fuck. Because there's a lot of days I don't want to do it. It's pretty much the same with everybody that actually gets good at something. That you get, there's got to be those days you push through, and they're probably going to be more numerous than the days you don't. And so the benefit of discipline in my eyes has always been that through discipline I get things done. I always say that I'm like the most lazy disciplined person I know, because I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
but I always do. One of the big problems is sitting down and doing the work. And you got to, and Pressfield talks about that in the most concise and beautiful way. And he labels it like an enemy. He calls it resistance, you know, and that you have to sit down, you have to overcome resistance, and that the pro goes to work. And it doesn't matter if you're sick, doesn't matter if you have kids, it doesn't matter what you're a pro and you go to work. And that just, it puts it in your head that this is what I do. This is what, and you have pride in that. And then when you are in front of that keyboard and you look down the count, it says, I got fuck 1,000 words today. I put 1,000 words in. You're doing the work. Yeah. And out of that work, gems blossom. Yeah. Little things, but you might have a day where you just write nothing but dog shit. So what? Show up again tomorrow. And tomorrow out of that dog shit, a flower will emerge. You never know. And that's the only way to develop real, like, to really develop your potential 100% in anything, whether it's as an author or even as a martial artist. There's a lot of creativity in martial arts. To be a great striker, you have to be creative, because you have to develop patterns or execute patterns that aren't going to be perceived. This idea that life is hard, something you're supposed to shield from them, it's so silly. And, you know, I've had this conversation with my friends because everybody that I know that's interesting had a fucked up life. But now we have kids, and the last thing we want is our kids to have a fucked up life. So we put our kids in these good schools. We live in these nice neighborhoods. Everybody eats healthy, and there's no fucking domestic violence. And everybody seems it's so different than all of our lives. And we were talking about it. Me and Brian Callen were actually talking about it. Like, look, we all had fucked up childhoods, and everybody we know had fucked up childhoods. And they're all interesting, but I don't want my kids to be boring, but I also want them to be safe. So it's like, how do you approach that? I mean, I think you get involved. This is what I've chosen to do, is get my kids involved in martial arts and give them the opportunity to pursue difficult things, and understanding that through pursuing these difficult things, like in accomplishing stuff, like you learn something about yourself. You learn that you have this ability inside of you to overcome. Get obsessed with life improvement. Find things that you enjoy doing that are difficult. Do them and get better at them. Seems so simplistic. It seems like a ridiculous, idealistic point of view, but it's effective. Well, you need some form, some amount of pride and some amount of ego to get good at things in the first place, because it's such a counterintuitive notion, because you have to have a belief in yourself. You have to be able, like when you start out at jiu-jitsu, you're a white belt. Like, I remember being a white belt and being like, oh my God, I am fucking never going to get good at this. I'm going to suck forever. But to look at people who are better than you and know they had to have sucked at one point in time. Okay. There's somewhere along the end of this tunnel. There's got to be a light. I just got to keep going.
Yeah.
And ego.
And
right?
Ego, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, ego drives, you know, you to be successful, me to be successful. Ego is what's driving you. The problem is when you let ego go too far.
Yeah.
And everything takes balance. I mean, there's a dichotomy in everything. Every part of you has a dichotomy. You know, you can get so into the physical aspects of things that you end up like doing a bunch of steroids and going crazy and ruining your health, right?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Right.
The other end of the spectrum, you know, you can sit around and play video games and turn into a...
Bodybuilding is a great example of that, because when you start lifting weights, you're like, God, I'd like to be stronger. And you start getting a little bit bigger. You're like, oh, look at that. I got a muscle. Woo, this is cool. And then you keep going, and then you keep going. But some guys get so fucking crazy, yeah. They won't stop until they have 22-inch arms. And they want to have thighs that are so big, they have to walk like they've got a barrel in between their legs. And, you know, and they just can't help it. They just take it to some completely unhealthy place.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, well, it's just the nature of trying to get good at something. You got to recognize what's good and what is just fucking insane. For some people, especially, they're just experiencing way too much pressure. And that pressure, a lot of times, it's just an imbalance in perspective. And some of it's I was talking to this mom once. Her daughter does gymnastics with my daughter, and we were talking about kids killing themselves where she used to live. She used to live in one of the really wealthy tech areas outside of San Francisco, and a bunch of kids that went to school with her daughter that were like 15, 16 were jumping off bridges and shit. Like, it was an epidemic, and they were trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, and they're literally calling it affluenza, that these affluent kids and their families are literally worth $1 billion. You know, I mean, everybody's super rich, and they're having this insane pressure, like before high school and in high school, to be in Ivy League schools and to get 4.0s and all, and they're not having any fun, and they're not experiencing life, and they don't have any hope, and their parents are all on fucking pills, and they're just killing themselves. For some people out there that aren't feeling good, man, if you just fucking struggled more, you get over that struggle, you feel better. It sounds so simplistic, but I swear by it.
Yeah.
I felt shitty myself, and then forced myself to work out. And after I get out of there, I'm like, "Whoa,
100%,
fucking,
it's 100% guarantee."
It's hard for people to break momentum too. Momentum that's good momentum, or momentum that's bad momentum. When I get when I get on a good groove of working out all the time, I feel it. Like after I'm done working out, I'm like, "Yeah, I can't wait to get in there again. I can't wait to work out again." That's the good momentum. But then there's that bad momentum, like you get injured or something like that, and you can't do anything for a couple of weeks, and then to try to get that kickstart that motor up again, it's hard to get momentum. There's a lot of people that are eating shit food, and then by the end of the day, your body's in a crisis.
Yep.
Your body's just processing all this bullshit. And if you're eating a big, bullshit lunch filled with nonsense, Like, your body's got to process all that stuff. And so at the end of the day, yeah, you're going to lose your willpower. So, like, when 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock rolls around, you're going to be tired. But if you have a healthy lunch and, you know, you're properly fueled, and then you also have positive people in your life, everyone's motivated, by the end of the day, you're going to feel good. Whatever the fuck your thing is, just go and do it. Just force yourself to do it. And if you feel like shit because you ate lunch, then your lunch was, you know, filled with bullshit, well then, hey, dummy, don't eat shitty lunch tomorrow. Tomorrow, try a nice salad.
Yeah.
You know, try a salad with some salmon and see how you feel then. You're like, hey, I feel way better today at 6 o'clock. Duh.
Yeah.
Now your decision-making will be better. Like, people don't understand how significant it is. Like, all these little decisions, those are like that's the path for the rest of your existence on Earth. And if you decide to go to fucking Cheetos chocolate chip cookie route, you're just making a shit path. You're carving your fucking path through broken rocks and glass, and it's not the way to go. You know what else doesn't exist in a day-to-day life? A place where it's okay to be a man. It's actually okay to be a man. It's okay to have man thoughts. Like, everybody is so toned down and neutered. It's like human resources and corporate life has watered down people's natural behavior to the point where people are just dying on the inside, sitting in these fucking cubicles, rotting, just freaking the fuck out, having all these thoughts they can't entertain, having to pretend to be someone they're not all day long, putting on this bullshit way of talking, this fake way of thinking. Everybody's got to subscribe to whatever fucking ridiculous policies their company wants to enforce. And you're just a robot, and you get out of there and you just want to scream. It's this fear of discomfort. People have this extreme feeling in their mind when it comes to their associations with exercise. They want to avoid discomfort. They feel like any type of exercise is just like something to be avoided. That's not for me. Fuck that. I don't want to sweat. I don't want to strain. And a lot of times, this association that they have is about the beginnings of getting in shape. It's not about once you're actually fit. Because once you're actually fit, exercise is something you look forward to. It's an alleviation of stress. It feels great. Like, if I can't get a workout in, I look at my schedule, I go, ah, shit, I don't have any time for a workout, which means I'm not going to get that good feeling. And so instead of looking at it like, oh, I've got to go grunt and sweat, I'm thinking I'm not going to feel good. I'm not going to feel relaxed. I'm not going to feel carefree. And I'm not going to feel even appreciative, like my appreciation of things. And it gets enhanced greatly after exercise. I just feel better. I feel like I can take things in for what they are rather than, you know, whatever sensory data that I'm getting from any event is just one more distraction that gets in my way. And you know, that's a lot of times how I look at things if I'm overstressed or if I'm working too much. Like, our bodies, for whatever reason, most people, their associations are to avoid anything that's uncomfortable. But it's so illogical, because when you look at comfort and you look at success and progress and the feelings of accomplishment and of getting past certain hurdles in terms of like how you feel about life, a lot of those are connected to discomfort. Like, discomfort is your friend. It really is. Like, discomfort and not being happy and content with certain situations in life or certain feelings in life, they're massive, massive motivators, and they're amazing at facilitating change. And yet our instinct is to avoid those and just sit on the couch and watch some fucking reality show about dudes who make moonshine with our jaw open, like, it's bizarre. And for me, at least, when I get like really disciplined and really I get really consistent with my workouts, one of the things that I feel, I almost feel momentum. I feel like there's like a push behind me, like, all right, we're, you know, like after I get out of the gym, I have a really good workout. I'm like, yeah, now I'm doing it. I'm doing it all the time now. And I'm looking forward to the next time. And it makes that resistance much weaker. And it makes my motivation and my discipline much stronger. I think a lot of it is based on just the consistency. You know, it's one of the things that I talked about recently on the podcast. I said, you know, like, blowing something off, it's not just not good, like blowing off an exercise that you planned is not just bad for you physically, it's also bad mentally, because then that option is now available. The option to fuck off is available. and you did it before and you're probably going to do it again, and you'll get mediocre results, not just in that aspect of your life, but maybe in all aspects of your life. Because I think that option to fuck off, when you embrace it, that is a pathway that you might choose when it comes to dealing with conflict in your personal life, dealing with business decisions, dealing with career decisions, like an uncomfortable decision that you might be faced with, where maybe you need to make a change as far as like what your pathway is in life, but you don't do it. Instead, you fuck off. And that the inclination to fuck off, I think, that gathers momentum as well. The inclination to be disciplined, that comes with momentum too. And I think both things, like you take a path, like the path of the healthy person or the path of the fuck off. Like, this is not like your body is like a race car that you can juice up yourself. Like, you can add the fat tires, you can add the improved suspension, you can beef up the horsepower in the engine. You could do all that yourself, or you could just choose to have this shitty body that's always falling apart on you, because we're essentially ecosystems. You know, and we're in charge. This weird consciousness that has all this resistance and has all this inclination towards comfort and fucking off and blowing things off is what is in charge of making all these things happen that keep this ecosystem healthy. It's almost like if Earth itself had like a shitty manager. You know, if like there was a manager of a natural manager of Earth that was like, oh God, who cares if it rains? Oh God, you know, like I'm going to stop growing things. I don't give a shit anymore. It's all stupid anyway. I mean, it's literally like the
just blow it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's just kill all of life. It's all going to die eventually. I mean, the sun only lasts 7 billion years.
You see, that is the perspective a lot of people take with aging, where it's like, well, you're going to die. You're going to age. You can't stop aging. And it's like, yes, you're right. But that's not the point. The point is to age better. Like, that's the point. The point is to increase your health span, you know, and that is, we know, is possible. Like, that can, there's some of these like centenarians and super centenarians I've seen that are like, in, you know, over 100 years old, and they're like riding bikes and racing, and it's like, they're old. They are very old.
But they're experiencing a very good quality of life.
Yeah.
And they're experiencing a quality of life that these other people that don't exercise feel, they physically feel their own body diminishing. And they just feel it's inevitable. It's just, it is what it is. You're wasting your time. You're out there running around. But no, we're not, because this experience right now, it's not like, no one's under the illusion that you're going to live forever. But you are enhancing the experience that you're currently involved in right now. And you are alive.
Right.
You are alive. You do experience this life. But do you experience this life optimally? Is it as enjoyable as it can be? And we all know that there's a spectrum for that enjoyability. Like, we've all had times in our life where it's not been so great. And then times in our life where everything came together. Like, what a fucking great day. Woo! Like, make more of those. Like, you can make more of those. And then the whole thing's better. And I think when that whole thing is better, it affects everybody you touch. Everybody that's around you. Everybody you come in contact with. And that, in turn, I mean, it sounds so grandiose, but in turn can affect the entire race of human beings. I've always wondered if the depression that people see en masse today, there's so much depression that people, it's a common trait. Like, it's a common condition. Oh, he suffers from depression. Oh, she suffers from depression. Like, oh, he's got herpes, you know? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a common thing. I've always wondered, or I've been wondering more and more recently. It really hit me when, have you ever seen Heinmo's Arctic Adventure? This guy lives in this incredibly remote area of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in the Alaskan interior. And he lives in this really small log cabin, and he hunts and gathers, and that's all he does. And he's very smart. Like, he's not a dummy at all. And he's been up there. He lives with his wife, and he raised children up there. And it's really, really, there's some dark moments in there, because they lived like this from the time, like, when they had children up there, and they lost their 2-year-old baby in a fucking canoe. Like, they tipped over in a canoe and lost their kid. And it's like, it's really intense when they revisit the site and leave flowers. And it was like 30 years ago, and they had several children since then, but this moment is still like this intense moment of loss for them, when they lost their baby. But this fucking guy is very happy and very, very smart and very connected and very articulate. And he firmly believes that human beings, when we evolved and developed and were hunter-gatherers, that there's a set of rewards. There's reward systems that are set up inside the human body, inside the very being that we embody, that don't get met in today's society. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's causing depression. One of the things that's causing this funk that people are in is that we're living our lives, many of us at least, in these very unfulfilling ways, where you're going to this office with artificial light and you're doing something you don't want to do all day long, and then you get home and you're tired. And on top of that, you're eating shit. You're eating potato chips and you're drinking soda, and your body is just like, what in the fuck is this? We're supposed to be out in the fields. We're supposed to be walking up hills. We're supposed to be looking for animals or gathering vegetables. We're supposed to be doing all these things that our body's designed to do. We're supposed to be in nature.
Yeah.
And nature is like a medicine. Like, it literally is a medicine to you. Like, people that go, you don't have to go hunting. You don't have to go fishing. Just go fucking hike, man. Just go hike up to the top of a mountain and look out. You know, there's a reward that you get from that that is intensely, like, soul-filling. Mm-hmm. There's, like, something about, like, when I was in Colorado, and there was this this area of Boulder where you drive up one of these roads, and there was this area where you could park, and it was this incredible view, man. And these people just park and just go out there and just look. But you get there, and you park, and you go, fuck. Because you would see, you're literally seeing the Continental Divide. These snow-capped mountains in July.
Yeah.
In July, it's covered with snow. Because those mountains don't give a
fuck. Perspective.
Oh. You
know, just this whole new perspective on it. And I think nature, I think the ease of suffering is always in presentness. You know, when you're in presentness, truly locked in presentness, there is no suffering. There can be pain, but no suffering. Suffering is something created by our own minds. And I think nature is one of the great ways to do this. Because humans, we learn, we take cues from our environment. And nature, as I was saying earlier, is always in the present. You know, there's this natural presentness of all the animals, everything around you. Whereas if you get around a bunch of people watching Housewives and stressed about this and popping pills, you're going to take on that energy too. And you're going to lose your presentness because of your surroundings. So it's like this ultimate regrounding tool where we get back to, present moment again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's such a fucking key element to human happiness. And I think the other key element is having something we're fighting for. You know, having a mission. I think we're all forces, and that force needs to have an effect, needs to have a reason that it's moving in a certain direction. And I think with all of our needs and all of our needs met, you know, where we don't have to hunt for food, we don't have to acquire everything, everything's relatively easy, and it's all about advancement and all this, we've lost a lot of the basic mission, which was the mission to survive and procreate, you know, so, and we haven't replaced it with any other universal mission, which is, I think, one of the big allures of these things like wars and these things like creating an enemy. Well, at least then you have a mission. And when you have a mission, human beings are happy. You know, like Bertrand Russell talked about, he did the book Conquest of Happiness, and he had his own fucked up attributes. Every time I bring him up, people talk about his fucked upness. He thought he was into phrenology and he might have been a racist. Whatever, but he was a good philosopher.
Smoked constantly.
Yeah. But anyways, he talked about the happiest person he knew. The happiest person he could find was a groundskeeper on a manor who every day woke up and was at war with the rabbits of the grounds. He just declared that the rabbits were the fucking enemy, and he would go out with his gun and he would hunt as many as possible, and he'd go morning till night, and he would kill as many rabbits as he could, because it was his, the rabbits were the ones eating the hedges and the flowers and whatever. So he basically made the rabbits his enemy and struck out every single day to kill as many rabbits as possible. And that dude, according to Bertrand Russell, was happy as fuck.
He had a task.
He had a purpose. You know, he had a mission. My mission is to destroy the rabbits.
I used to have a dog like that.
Yeah?
I had the happiest dog ever. His name was Frank Sinatra. And he was a pit bull that all he lived for was killing lizards. And my house, my old house, not the house I'm in now, but my old house had this it's like on a hill, and there's this one wall where these lizards would run up the wall. And so Frank, I would literally let him out in the morning, and he would fucking bolt out that door. It's like, time to go to war. Like, and he would run and go look for these lizards. And yeah. he would stand there. Like, Eddie Bravo would just watch it and marvel. He'd be like, fuck, man, this dog does this every day. This dog does this every day. I go, this is what he loves to do. And he would go there, and he would have his paws on the wall. And he would, and he would go crazy, and he would jump up and try to grab a lizard. And occasionally, he would get one. And he'd be like, fuck, yeah. And he would get one. They would go looking for another one. He would go, and it was a pretty big yard. So he would go wandering around the yard looking for anything else that fucked up, anything else that was slipping. There was constantly, unfortunately, twice I had to take him to the hospital because he got bit by rattlesnakes. Because rattlesnakes were slipping too, apparently. He killed the rattlesnakes, but the rattlesnakes fucked him up. Yeah. He had like a water balloon growing out of the side of his head. Both of my dogs, by the way, that's a real problem if you don't have the money to pay for the serum. It's super expensive. It was several thousand dollars to treat them for this rattlesnake venom, anti-venom shit. It's like, I was like, man, what if I was poor? What if...
Yeah, that's a whole fucked up system. Like, they inject horses with the venom,
mm-hmm.
and then they, like, get the antibodies from the horses.
It's exactly.
like this archaic system. I think my friend Donald Schultz is working on... He's a big snake handler guy. He's working on ways to innovate around that, because it's kind of like a real backwards system that they have, how you get anti-venom. Well, a horse will survive, so let's just fucking
sort of
put the venom in there, and then we'll get the antibodies from the horse, and then, you know, it's a weird thing how they do it.
Yeah, well, that's a real problem with people that are vegans. If you're a vegan and you don't use any animal products and you get bit by a rattlesnake, you got two choices. Compromise your morals, or that's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know? But this dog was so goddamn happy.
Mm-hmm.
He had missions.
Yeah.
You know, he would go out of that yard and he wasn't bored. He was like, please take me for a walk. Come on, man. He was like, see ya, dude. I'd open that door. He was gone. Yeah. He just had his little mission.
And I think you can see that in the people who are the most unhappy. They seem aimless.
Yeah.
They're like, what am I here for? Why am I doing this? Nothing makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
And I've even felt it in my own life when, you know, I know what my mission here is. First, my mission is to expand human consciousness, to help people be happy. Like, that's really what I find my greatest purpose in. But every once in a while, I'll get this kind of like fuck people attitude. Maybe someone said some fucked up shit. And I'm like, man, people fucking suck. Fuck people. And then at that point, that's when I'm actually depressed, you know, because I've lost my mission. Instead of having a mission like, yes, my mission is human consciousness, all of a sudden it's like, fuck people, fuck that mission, they'll figure it out. And then I'm depressed because I've lost my purpose.
It's very hard to rise above, like literally, when something like that happens and realize like, oh, you're encountering one diseased individual. You got to look at the mass of humanity.
Yeah.
Like when you encounter one diseased individual, it's so like this guy who shot up that nightclub in Orlando, you're looking at one diseased individual. And if you say, man, people fucking suck, look at what they did. Well, look at how many people that are responding with rainbows on their Twitter pages and love and all the best wishes to those folks that got killed and all their... I mean, I was looking at this guy's page who's an animal lover who was organizing people to go to the homes of the victims and see if they have pets that are trapped. You know, there's beautiful people out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's more beautiful people. This is without a doubt not just the safest, the easiest. This is the happiest time in terms of like being able to like reach out and send love to people and have people send love to you.
On us is forcefully, but if we just look, it's around all the time. We run into good people all the time, but you know, you just make eye contact with that good person or that kid who's just looking at you and just creeping with that little smile, and you're like, oh yeah, the good of humanity, the fact that you know we really are love. You know, being expressed, you know, outwardly all the time. And it's just these other delusions that get in the way of that.
Well, we're oddly attracted to negativity too. It's almost like we look at negativity online or that you run into as like a possibility of war. Like, you have to look out, this fucking drum's beating. God damn it, there's an army on the background. They're coming. But, you know, it's like this real impulse to sort of batten down the hatches. When really it's just some fucking 36-year-old loser sitting in his parents' basement, you know, farting and smelling his own farts and angry online. I mean, that's really what a lot of you're dealing with. You're dealing with, like, really sick people. Like, people that have, just for whatever reason, they've not found their path. They've not found any happiness. They've not found any fulfillment. They haven't found any growth. They're just stifled or rotten in some sort of a weird way. It just hasn't really worked for them.
Yeah.
And so they're lashing out. They're lashing out at the world. And you run into one of those, and you're like, ah, people suck.
Yeah. And that's the initial response. And then the more conscious response is to look at them and have compassion for that person.
Yeah. You know, that's hard to do, right?
That is hard to do. And our system isn't based upon that. Even if you look at the U.S. penal system, it's very much about punishment. Whereas if you watch that documentary that Michael Moore did, Who to Invade Next, where they go to Norway, they have a whole different idea of what the penal system is for. It's about restoring human dignity and cultivating, you know, a change, really making change in the person. It's not about punishment. It's about actually changing that individual so he doesn't do it again. And then you look at the recidivism rates between our prisons and Norway's prisons, and they're just dramatically different. That impulse to punish immediately, you know, is not the healthiest impulse. That's just going to create more issues down the road. You're not rehabilitating anybody. You're just taking even more broken people and putting them out in the world and hoping they're not going to do the broken things. Well, it's not going to fucking work. You know, the right impulse is always that compassion and looking to see, as if that was you, how all of these fucked up elements of the world and choices. I'm not overriding the fact that they had choices in all this. They're not free of guilt. But look at that, like, this is the person that just made some bad choices and had some tough shit to deal with and couldn't overcome it. The resistance in the video game was higher than his skill set, and he wasn't able to choose to work and choose to the positive elements that would allow him to overcome it. You know,
yeah, it's also Norway's dealing with far fewer people.
That's true.
You know, that's a good thing for them. And it's also they don't have that conqueror's mentality that we have. So we're so wrapped up in success and also in punishment. I mean, that is a big aspect of our culture, like punishment. And I mean, like, when anybody does anything wrong online, the amount of people that feel like it's their job to shame that person and embarrass that person and insult that person, it's pretty crazy to watch when something goes down.
It's also counterproductive, you know, and I see that in the people shaming people for appropriation, right? So let's say, for example, someone wears a headdress at a fucking festival, right? They're probably mildly, they're not doing it to mock the Native Americans, most likely. It's probably like a mild appreciation and interest. I think this looks cool. I'm in a place and, you know, and then all of a sudden they get all this intense hate and shame and putting all of this stuff, all of these intentions on them that weren't true. Again, going back to my point about morality, it's not about the act. It's about the intentions of the act. But right now we make it all about the act. Oh, you wore this headdress. That means you're insulting thousands of years of Native Americans. You're oppressing, you're appropriating. Like, no, I fucking wasn't. I was wearing a fucking headdress. But then all of a sudden that imprint will create trauma, and that trauma will have a poisonous impact that will make them feel weird and make them want to do that to other people. So it's like you're injecting someone with a hate virus, you know, that they're going to then pass on to other people rather than doing the opposite, you know, spreading the love herpes, where it's this contagious positivity that goes the other way. And we have those choices with how to deal with people, but more often than not, we come with this thing to punish and create more trauma, which triggers their own self-judge and their own self-hate, lowers their own self-love, and then they're going to pass that off to kids, family members, people around them. You know, there's just two sets of dominoes that we can choose to take either path.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.